You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
I'm Heidi Cartwright, Financial Advisor and RICP.
Advisors associated with Prout Financial Design may be either 1. Registered representatives with and securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC, and investment advisor representatives of Integrated Partners, a registered investment advisor, or 2. Solely investment advisor representatives of Integrated Partners, a registered investment advisor, and not affiliated with LPL Financial. Investment advice offered through Integrated Partners, a registered investment advisor. Integrated Partners and Prout Financial Design are separate entities from LPL Financial. Dennis Prout and Nathan Prout are solely investment advisor representatives of Integrated Partners and are not affiliated with LPL Financial. The opinions voiced in this show program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriately qualified professional before making a decision.
WTCM News Talk 580. Welcome aboard. It's New Retirement Radio on WTCM with Prout Financial Design every Thursday at this time, 10 o'clock, or right after the 10 o'clock news, starring Mr. Dennis Prout. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Ron. We've got a lot to talk about today. Thank you all for listening. As you know, we love doing this show. We're talking about everything finance today, and believe me, we're talking about a lot of finance today. I am a Certified Private Wealth Advisor, CFP, Certified Financial Planner, Master Elite Advisor, and father of three, grandfather of almost nine.
Wow, really?
It's kind of really fun. It's crazy. And then we also have Heidi Cartwright, our own RIACP and Executive Director, Master Elite Advisor, too. Hey, Heidi.
Good morning, Dennis. It's great to be back. I've been gone for a couple of weeks, so yeah. Glad to be here this morning. Thank you.
Glad to have you. And then Nathan Prout, Master Elite Advisor. Managing Director. I have to keep all these, registrations correct. How are you, young man?
I'm doing well. It's great to be here.
Great to have you. And then today, filling in for Beth Shire, is Melissa Ingwersen, Director of Administration. Hey.
Good morning, Dennis. Thanks for having me.
Morning.
Great to have you back there. So we've got a lot going on. Last week, I was away. As Heidi mentioned, she was away for a couple of weeks. I was away last week at the Lake Superior Coastal Trail, and I call it epic. It's in the Lake Superior Provincial Park. It was the most rocks I've seen in my life, and we had to navigate those as well as the ups and downs of the trail. There were some parts of the trail that were, as I mentioned to old friend Dave Feelstra a couple of days ago, made Quetico look like an elementary tour. And on that particular area that you have to navigate with your canoe on your back at Quetico, it's about a 12-foot decline where you're using the canoe on your shoulders to try to help you navigate down. And I said to Dave, the Lake Superior Coastal Trail was about 20 of those in a given day. And I always thought that Quetico was the most challenging. So anyway, it was epic, fun, beautiful, amazingly challenging like nothing I've seen.
And where is it exactly along Lake Superior?
It's in the Provincial Park compared to Sault Ste. Marie it's about an hour and a half north and west. And the coastline is so rugged. There's no homes on the coastline, but it's beyond beautiful. There are certain areas where just welcome swimmers, if you will, if you like to do that. But also trying to navigate that with a 35 to 40 pound backpack on your back was amazingly challenging, and a beautiful. There were 10 of us guys that were there on that.
Ah.
From our local
church. You do that every year?
At Sojourn. They went a couple years ago, and I joined them this year. I would say I was probably a bit old to be on that particular tour, but they put up with it and rescued me when I needed it.
You made it through.
I did.
So how far did you go? Did you have to hike?
It was about, our particular trek was about 15 miles, kind of in the center of it. we went from what's called Orphan Lake down to Sinclair Cove, to be exact. Mm. And most folks, honestly, wouldn't try to navigate that without a backpack. We did with, and it made for an interesting fare. The last day, I'm minding my own business, getting all my stuff set up for the next trek. We're on our way out for that day, which is about 4 miles. All of a sudden, the guys, I hear them yelling and waving their arms. They're over on one side of the camp area. Go over and look and can't really see. And I go, what's going on? Well, there's a bear coming through our campsite. So I, run over to one side and help them yell at the thing to try to get it out of the campsite, which it kept moving. Made for some excitement for the day.
How far, how long does it take north of the bridge, Sault Ste. Marie, into Canada? How long did it take to drive there?
From the Sioux, it was about an hour to an hour and a half. Yeah. So it wasn't that far up there. But it's just... And then we were also in Lake Maginimunching, which was amazing. Oh, Ron's got it up here on the screen. And Lake Maginimunching is amazingly accessible. It's the total opposite to where we were. For those people who might want a heads up on, you like camping, but you don't want to go backpacking in insanity. There's a shot here for Lake Minji, as they call it.
Yeah, beautiful. Clouds reflecting off of that.
Yeah, it's amazingly gorgeous with some great campsites up there. And we just were awed at its beauty. So it's fun. All right, today we have so much to talk about, as mentioned. Today I'm talking about six signs, it's time to retire. Six signs it's time to retire. Nathan's going to be talking about the big, beautiful bill and its impact on retirement planning. Heidi's going to be talking about Social Security.
Yes.
And the new stats that came out in the most recent report, which I think you'll find it very, very helpful. What are the signs it's time to retire? More than 4 million Americans will turn age 65 this year. By the way, your questions are welcome. If you do have a question of a financial nature, Ron, how would people get in touch with us, please?
They could call us on the phone or text us. Either way, it's the same number, 231 area code, call 947-0023, 947-0023.
I found this number amazing. Over 4 million Americans will turn 65 this year, which could translate into over 11,000 Americans exiting the workforce on a daily basis.
Wow, on a daily basis.
11,000 daily.
I wonder if they count that as jobs created then, like new people will take those jobs, right?
I thought that might be the next question, and I have no idea.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if anybody does.
I don't know how they count that. At turning 65 is a big deal. This person says you can collect more of your Social Security benefits. Actually, for each month that you wait on Social Security, you can collect more. Whether it's 62 all the way up to 70 years old. You have 8 years to make up your mind about whether or not you want to take Social Security, to be sure.
And 65 is a big deal because then you're eligible for Medicare, and that sort of takes that worry away of, if you retire, what are you going to do about your health care?
Exactly. So, number one, six undeniable signs it's time to retire now. Number one, your heart says yes. You're emotionally ready. We spend 40 or more hours a week working, so it makes sense that it's a big part of who we are. But if you give that up, how will you feel? Will you miss anyone there? Will anyone miss you?
That's okay. I'll just tune in and listen.
Tune in and listen? I'm listening. No, really. So much of our self-worth and well-being is in our occupation, some say, as advisors say. That is very much true. For men, give yourselves 1 to 2 years to get through that process of the acclimation. But what will you do to begin to think through that? That's why sitting with a financial advisor can help you think through that stuff. And if you're married or there's a partner or whatever, see what they're saying as well. So you can both get a better feel for that. And begin to think it through. It's not something you think about on the way to work. You're thinking about, how black do I want my coffee? Or, whatever it is.
Do you think, I was wondering about this the other day, your practice or any practice, because you've talked a lot about the the psychological or emotional changes, sure. Not just financial,
yeah.
But like if you had someone on staff, a counselor. I mean, you do some of that, but I don't know. Do you ever run into clients who really struggle with the retirement and yeah. could use some help?
Yeah, I do, honestly. And I see it after.
Yeah,
I see it after, Ron. And some people haven't prepared enough, and not everybody can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the other side of it. But honestly, I do see guys that struggle more with it than the women side of the equation, mm-hmm. if you will. They just do, because we are... I myself, I love work. I love it. So, yes. Number two, your numbers add up. You've saved enough, and do you know? If you've done your job and saved enough to live comfortably in retirement, then exiting the workforce is much easier to do. To ensure you have enough, identify all of your sources of retirement income, tally your budget requirements, consider hobbies, travel, and unexpected medical expenses. Now, how is one to do that, Heidi? I mean, I just find that impossible, don't you?
Well, that is an excellent question, Dennis. We just happen to have a wonderful tool that we use at our office. That is the financial plan. These are all the elements that we get that go into creating that financial plan that we walk through clients and have interaction with the clients and the advisor, where you're looking at different scenarios. What works best? Where are you? How comfortable are you with those? And it gives you sort of a roadmap of what you can expect.
So instead of words on a paper, oh yeah, I can figure all that out. Mm. You can see numbers on paper and up on the screen as well. So we print it off, but we show you. Here's what you're thinking. Here's what you told us. And you can say, I didn't say that, you know, or whatever. You can respond to it, and then you can work with it, and especially get acclimated with it over time. Dennis, is this rocket science? No, but it can make a difference. As the article I saw this morning in the Wall Street Journal, thank you very much, for those who are not doing proper estate planning, man, the bill can be insane, because if you're not taking the proper credit for the first person, rather, who passes away in a marriage, all of a sudden your estate taxes can balloon significantly, and we're going to talk about this next week. So being aware of something is very different than putting it into practice, and that's where we can help you put rubber, if you will, to the road. That's where we can help.
And especially those couple years prior to when you think you might want to retire, that's a powerful time to come in for that financial plan, because you still have time to like say, well, what if I work 6 more months, rather than waiting until you've actually retired and then coming in. Both scenarios possible to figure things out, but I like it when people come in a couple years before so that we have some time to really dive into that information and make the most of it.
And they have the time, too,
yes,
to get used to the idea and think it through. Number three, your days have a purpose. You have a post-retirement plan. Do I just want to write? What am I about my exercise? You know, what about other activities? What about our church? What about our volunteer? All the volunteer stuff. Number four, you're cool with the cash flow or not. Five, your partner is all in. You've had the crucial spouse talk. Now, that's where we can make a huge difference, too. So, as I previously mentioned, perhaps you and your spouse can talk this through much more actively with a financial advisor. Now, can we talk about this alone, Dennis? Well, obviously you can. But this can help move that target, if you will, and or that ball more toward your court, and that you've seen, again, what he or she said in the conversation. And seeing their reaction to these things. Six, your health is a priority. Maintaining a healthy lifestyle will cut down your health care costs, obviously, in retirement, which means more money to pursue your hobbies and or other interests. And for some, it's another partial career. It's another way to say, I've been putting aside for so long what I really wanted to do, and I know I can make some money at it. It's not a key component, but it's another part of who I am and what I would love to pursue. And with that, thank you. Nathan Prout, you're talking about the big, beautiful bill.
Yes. So we will refer to it as the bill for the rest of this article. But Ed Slott has three retirement account takeaways from the new bill. So the first takeaway they have is that Rothification will continue.
Why am I not surprised?
Because Roths are the best, Ron.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, I know Ed Slott likes them.
Right. Yeah, always talking about Roths.
While the bill does not include any new Roth account provisions, it is likely that in its wake, the trend of Rothification will continue. And the reason, wait for it, is the need for revenue.
They need money.
Right. Ed always says this too. They are always happier with the money now rather than more money later. That's someone else's problem. That's not in their term. Mm-hmm. So many experts believe the passage of the bill will continue the trend of ballooning budget deficits. In the past, Congress has turned to Roth accounts in attempts to plug holes in the budget. Because Roth accounts are after-tax accounts and thus provide immediate revenue. For Congress, again, the future tax-free growth in those accounts is someone else's problem. So back in 2017, during the tax reform debate, a proposal was made to increase revenue by pushing savers towards non-deductible Roth 401ks. This trend continued with the Secure 2.0 Act, which now allows broader use of Roth-type plan accounts, such as Roth SEP and Simple Plans, and employer 401k contributions. Employer Roth 401k contributions, excuse me. Also, beginning in 2026, 401k catch-up contributions must go to Roth 401ks when company wages exceed $145,000 in the prior year.
Okay, hang on a minute. What's a Roth 401k catch-up contribution?
Well, if you're over a certain age, you can make additional contributions to your 401k beyond the normal limit. And those are what are called catch-up contributions. But those contributions, if you are in a higher salary range, will need to start going to the Roth account. So the normal contribution amount is $23,500. The catch-up contribution is $7,500.
So all of a sudden, in essence, you can put up to $31,000 total into your 401k, but that catch-up contribution, so they're in essence they're penalizing people for including a catch-up contribution by making them putting it into a Roth.
Well, penalize is a strong word. They're just making you pay taxes on it right now, but ultimately, if you have longevity and good planning and all those sorts of things, those Roth contributions can be a very important part of your future retirement income picture as well.
See? Yeah. All right.
The second reason, conversion opportunities are expanded. For savers who are considering Roth conversions, the bill has removed a pending deadline. So the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act's lower tax rates were scheduled to sunset at the end of this year. By eliminating this deadline and extending these rates into the future, the bill has opened the door to conversions in future years at today's low tax rate. This changes the calculus for deciding whether to make Roth conversions. Also, the bill includes a number of new tax deductions, such as SALT, TIPS, and overtime, that can be leveraged to lower the tax bill on a conversion.
So this is for 25. 2025.
Parts of it.
Some of them are 26.
Right.
So in essence, you're going to need to see your accountant more often than you might otherwise. And that can be a great idea because they can help you determine whether or not this could make sense. Now, don't try to get together with them, of course, in February, March, or April. Consider if you're in one of these fields or areas, consulting with them now. Now. Okay.
Yeah. And the final reason is planning with tax-advantaged accounts will be more important than ever. So many of the new tax breaks that are part of the bill come with income limits. Smart planning with tax-advantaged accounts is one way to reduce income and thus preserve a deduction that would otherwise be lost. For example, a 75-year-old could do a qualified charitable distribution from his IRA to both satisfy a required minimum distribution and preserve eligibility for the new extra $6,000 senior deduction. So again, those qualified charitable distributions are when you direct your custodian where your IRA is held to send a check directly to a registered charity that you are not going to get any sort of gift or
remuneration
for. Yeah. And that's in your name, but it never goes to you. It goes directly to the charity. And that counts, since the first money that comes out of your IRA every year will count towards your RMD, that can also count towards your RMD, but also, therefore, reduce your total taxable income as well.
And thus help you qualify for that huge tax deduction.
Right.
In essence, that tax deduction could be equivalent to about $1,200 at a 20% federal tax bracket. $6,000 is a standard deduction at 20% is worth about $1,200 savings in tax. So this could be a great incentive to plan your QCDs or qualified charitable distributions in light of the fact that your income is right within those limits there, to allow you to take that new standard, extra standard deduction this year.
Yeah, and we were talking about this a couple of weeks ago, actually, too. But for a married filing jointly couple in their 60s without crazy income, the new standard deduction can be north of basically $45,000 with the extra $6,000 deductions and the senior deduction on top of that as well.
There's some great things about having turned 65, Ron.
Yes. I'm nuts. Can't wait to find out.
So tax-advantaged accounts like IRAs, 401ks, and HSAs provide a useful way for many individuals to lower their income. In some cases, even after the tax year is over, in the wake of the new bill, of course, this will be more valuable than ever.
We have a few comments we want to share, or questions.
Oh, sure, you bet.
Yeah. Dennis, you are more rugged than us, but we are back in North Carolina to participate in some Whitewater Fund. Thank you and all the people at Prout for helping us pursue our best retired life.
Oh, ooh, that's nice.
Do you have an idea who that is?
I do.
Yeah.
I think it's Chris and Mary.
Okay.
And they are adventurers in their kayaks like nothing you've ever seen. And thank you very much for that note. They are inspiring outdoor people. Absolutely. And I wouldn't honestly say I'm more rugged than them, but yes.
Social Security question.
Sure, you bet.
Can you explain spousal top-off and how to apply? Everyone's looking at you, Heidi.
I know. I'm not sure what top-off, what they're referring to there. So okay. I would say I could, if I could understand the question, maybe a little more information would be helpful.
All right.
Yeah, I would guess it's some sort of a benefit related to the spouse catch-up, spouse increased benefit. As the other spouse collects their benefit, then they might get a bump up in their own. I can only guess that's what it is.
There are various terms.
Various terms out there flying around that can be somewhat invented, if you will. But that's not an official Social Security term.
Yes.
It is not.
Yeah. All right, and one other, I'm sure you covered this on the show before, but how do you work it? Your original consultation with clients or potential clients, how do you work that? What's the cost? And how does the billing work in the future? How does it work at Prout Financial Design?
Well, we provide the first meeting at no, it's a consultation with no cost. And no obligation, because it's just a great way for you to get to know us and us to get to know you. And then we also go through a several-step process in terms of if there is an interest or need. Now, many times those first meetings can answer all the questions you're going to need. I mean, it's done right there, and that's fine. But for those who want to pursue a relationship more directly, then we go in depth and working on the financial plan to help you figure that out. And then it again helps you get to know your situation and us to get to know you too. And we provide that all at our expense. And the reason for that is that process has to be significant and methodical for us to help make a determination if we can help you. And obviously then you help make a determination if you want us to help you. Okay?
That's right.
Yeah. So you do that with all your clients, that financial plan?
We do. Yeah. It's standard now. And okay. We've found that it just works so much better. Because then I could go on and on. But one quick point. All of that information is included in the statements that we provide to you. That ongoing financial plan statistical information is all incorporated into your statement through the software. So you can see on an ongoing basis how you're doing right along with your statement. So there are many reasons that we do that. That is one of the more significant ones, okay?
Can people still pick those up if they want to? Is that a hard copy they can pick up and fill out if they want?
Absolutely. A sample, it's actually a financial planning document that helps us begin the inputs for you if you want to go that route.
All right, proutfinancialdesign.com. All kinds of information there. Oh, we had a couple of questions. We'll go back.
You bet.
Social Security, can you explain spousal top-off and how to apply? We might have more on that right now.
Yeah, we do. We actually got an answer. Nathan looked it up. Thank you, sir. So here's how it works. You apply for both your own retirement benefit and the spousal benefit. SSA calculates the benefit amount you'd receive based on your own earning record. Then they calculate the spousal benefit amount, which is what I guessed. I guessed it was regarding the spousal benefit amount. If your own retirement benefit is higher than the spousal benefit, you receive your own benefit amount. It's simply saying you get whichever is the higher, either 50% of your spouse's or your own benefit. That's where the top off comes in. They're simply telling you, you get the best of either. Okay. You get the best of both
the
worlds.
The higher one.
You're so special, you know.
And you apply for that at your Social Security office?
You have to apply for both, actually, and they'll calculate which one is higher.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of other questions for the Prout panel today. What's the best source to easily understand the Big Beautiful Bill without reading the 5,000 pages of legal mumbo-jumbo?
Contact our office, 231-947-3992. Heidi Cartwright. Goodness, called her by your daughter's name. Ron wins. Sorry, Ron. Yep.
I don't feel as bad now.
No kidding. Heidi pulled out the OBA, One Big Beautiful Bill Act of 2025. It's 2 pages of intense study to help you figure that all out. So you're welcome to call our office and we'll give you a copy.
Right.
Either via email or you can drop in.
Yeah, it provides all the, like a summary of all the provisions that have to do with taxes.
Excellent. Yes.
What is an IUL, somebody asks?
It's an inter-revolutionary device. It's called a long gun. I'm kidding.
No,
no, it's a universal life policy. A variable universal life policy is what that is.
Okay.
Life insurance.
And life insurance policy.
I need to put a personal residence on a few acres of land into a trust, somebody says. Where can I get a few samples of a trust so I can study the various leasing requirements, terms, and conditions that must be met?
You could either get that from your trusted estate planning attorney, or you could most likely get it also as well online. Just look it up.
All right.
But generally, when you want to do any estate planning, see someone about that. Don't try to do that online, okay? You'll never regret it. Well, most cases, you won't regret it. But neither will your heirs, because then they can consult with someone when everything doesn't go quite as well and or the way you thought it might or they thought it might as well. Okay.
Finally, a text, I'm 74, so that song is 10 years off. Also, I need a more wealth advisor, they say.
Yeah, and it was interesting. We were looking at these figures, and one of these things was one of the points made in the article that I was reading was you're okay with your account values going down. And I was thinking, what we've seen, and not all the time, depends on how much you're spending of your wealth. But given the returns continue in the way that we've seen in the past, your account values could very well go up over time, which is what everyone likes to see. If possible. All right. Is that it, Ron?
Yes, sir.
Heidi Cartwright, tell us about Social Security.
Well, last Thursday on August 14th, it was a big day in the Social Security world. It was the 90th anniversary of the signing of the Social Security Act. This is a cornerstone of the American retirement system. It continues to provide critical income to more than 69 million retirees, disabled individuals, and survivors today. It started in 1935 during the Great Depression. Social Security was created to provide a safety net for older Americans and vulnerable workers. 9 decades later, it remains the single largest source of retirement income in the United States, and it is mostly relied upon across the nation by American U.S. retirees.
It's most relied upon of any retirement income source?
Correct.
Interesting.
So there was a survey done by AARP in July of 2025, so last month, and they found that Americans are growing increasingly uneasy about the future of the program.
Shock and awe.
The survey was 3,500 people ages 18 and older, and they found that there was overwhelming support for its existence. Growing dependence among retirees and mounting concern among younger generations about its long-term viability.
All and, not good signs, thank you.
Right, yeah. And we get a lot of these questions as mm-hmm. well as people come in. So what did they find in this survey? They found that a full 96% of Americans say the program is essential to retirees, and nearly 7 in 10 say it's more critical today than it was just 5 years ago. This sentiment is shared across party lines. So this is something everyone agrees on. Is that amazing?
It is amazing. I guess it's not amazing, but it's still amazing they agree on something. Yeah.
All in the high 90s, Democrats, Republicans, and Independents agree that the program plays a critical role in retirement security. So here's something we all can agree on. So according to the study, only 36% of respondents believe Social Security will be there for them when they retire. This is a steep drop from 43% way back in 2020, and the lowest level of confidence ever recorded over the last 15 years since they've been doing this survey.
Wow. Yeah.
So the reason the confidence is declining out there is linked to public awareness of the program's funding challenges. So trust funds will be depleted by 2034, it's estimated, and that is just 9 years from now. Hmm. And there is concern that the program would only be able to pay about 81% of scheduled benefits from ongoing payroll tax revenue. That would be an automatic across-the-board benefit cut unless new revenue or benefit reforms are enacted.
So, or unless the federal government just covers the check.
And this is not a surprise.
By going into debt, you mean?
Yeah.
By borrow, yeah.
Right. They'd have to write out, they'd have to pay that.
So this is not a big surprise, Dennis, because for the last 14 years, they have been reporting that there is an issue. The trustees have come out and issued a warning that something needs to be done because of this impending deficit in the mm-hmm. Social Security. So it's not a surprise. So we will see what happens in the future, whether Congress will take this on and try to solve it in the near term or wait for the far term.
You bet.
Well, Heidi, Social Security, as you were saying, has been around for north of 90 years. It was reforms, They changed the retirement age back in the 80s, so yeah. It's not like it's never been altered.
But right. Yeah. But it is a hot potato issue. Nobody wants to, anytime somebody starts talking about fixing Social Security, you know, there's a lot of controversy that goes along with it and a lot of
The Reagan administration made those changes. They gradually moved the full retirement age from 65 to 67, and that occurred over several years. So it was graduated, but it made a ton of sense. If they made those graduated changes, we all know from an actuarial standpoint, when they run those numbers, they could make that work with some relatively minor adjustments. It's just that seems to me every time that some cogent or intelligent proposal is done, they turn it into a political football and say, you know, don't do this to our retirees and all that sort of thing. Well, if it were only based for younger retirees, we all know. Anybody with any thinking capacity can say, you know, if they made those intelligent changes and everybody could see it and they could gain the confidence back, all of a sudden you solve five different problems with one solution.
So when the politicians say, we won't touch Social Security, we'll leave it as it is, that's the equivalent of saying, you'll only get 81% of your benefits starting in 2034.
Thank you. Right? Yeah. Thank you, Ron. Right? In essence, what you're saying, can I say the term BS on radio?
Yes.
In essence, it's just flat BS when they say that, Ron, because they're not telling the truth. If you want to leave it the same, then watch it go down the tubes in terms of its ability to carry the load that it needs to provide income.
Right.
For retirees.
Because we need to do something.
We do.
So
Dennis dramatizes it. Thank you very much.
Okay. Well, moving right along,
yeah,
Dennis.
Please do.
So further in the survey, they found that the reliance on Social Security has never been higher.
Yeah.
According to the survey, 65% of current retirees report that they rely a great deal on their Social Security benefits to cover living expenses, with an additional 21% saying they rely on it somewhat. That means 86% of retirees depend on their monthly benefit checks to maintain their standard of living. This marks a significant increase from just over 10 years ago, when a 2010 Pew study found that 58% of retirees relied heavily on Social Security. So that's a dramatic difference.
That's huge. So it went from 58% saying that they relied heavily on Social Security in 2010. Now it's 86. So it's a 30% increase. Almost a 30% total from 58 to 86 or whatever that is. But in terms of it, the percentage itself of that change, we're talking almost a 60% change in the feelings on that about where people are saying, I'm depending solely on this, or it's critical to me. That's huge, and that's a problem. Yeah.
Do you want to interrupt for one moment and take a question?
Oh,
yeah, let's
sure.
do that.
Let's do that. Jeff is calling in today from Lake Leelanau. Good morning, right. Jeff.
How are you?
Good.
Thank you for airing this issue today.
Thank you.
Ask you to ask the folks who are your guests about something that I've read, that even if we were today to act and change FRA to a higher number and then also maybe uncap FICA above a certain adjusted gross income level, you know, about $350,000, $450,000 a year has been discussed, it would right the system for about another 50 to 60 years. But one of the things that folks don't realize, even though 9 years, and some people will think, well, that's a long time to fix it, the reality is every year that goes by that we don't, that FRA and that income indexing will have to go up. So it gets worse and worse and worse as you approach the 9 year mark. So point being, it needs to get fixed now, not in 8 or 9 years when it becomes a crisis or it becomes a bigger crisis. I'll go off the air and let you comment. Thanks.
Thank you, Jeff.
Jeff, the best comment yet today on Social Security right there from our caller. Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, sir. And thank you for your phone call. You're right on. You're right on. It gets worse by degrees. It's exponential in its fixed cost if we don't deal with this sooner.
Yeah, the impact will be much less dramatic if we solve it earlier rather than later, where it will be much harsher and bigger.
So call your congressperson, okay? This all reminds me of my mother when I said, you know, whatever it was I was so upset about. She said, well, go right down to Lansing and tell them what you think. And she was serious. I just looked at her like she was from Mars. You know, Mom, really? Call your congressperson and tell them you're very concerned about Social Security. Let's start making this happen, shall we? You bet. All right, Heidi.
All right. So we were talking about the growing reliance on Social Security, and there were several factors that they brought up that have contributed to this dramatic increase. The continued decline of employer-provided pension plans, and we talk about this all the time on the show, how more and more companies are moving to defined contribution plans and not providing those pension plans, the defined benefit plans that we saw, like with our grandparents or maybe our parents had. So there's also longer life expectancies. People are healthier, they're living longer, and there's also rising health care costs, and people have insufficient private savings to be able to supplement, and so they rely more and more on those Social Security payments. So Social Security is really foundational to us. And there are a lot of confusion about Social Security. We had that question about the topping off of Social Security there. But a lot of information, because it can be quite complicated. We've spent a lot of time on the show just trying to explain the difference between a spousal benefit and a survivor benefit, for example. Yes.
So we need to have Bob on again. And we were talking about that earlier. Thank you very much. And talking more about this.
Prout Financial Design, proutfinancialdesign.com.
Yes,
Dennis,
indeed.
Heidi, Nathan, Melissa, thank you all.
Thanks, Ron.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Ron.